We welcome in our friend Nick Coit from ABC 6 in Providence to talk about the Boston sports scene. Hello there, Nick.
Hello, Dr. Kimball. How are you?
Well, I'm good because before I came in, I got to watch about 2.5 innings of that Red Sox game, and man, it was a party.
Yeah, it's funny. I've been in and out because, you know, mid-afternoon Thursday, there's, you know, I got some irons in the fire, if you will, doing the old gig here. And I look up and 11-0. Like, okay, well, that's a way to split a series in Houston. That's very nice. Kind of riding off the momentum of last night.
So well, absolutely.
That's good.
Now, I said yesterday after those first two losses to Houston, it was about what I expected. Because this team, the pattern all year has been they climb up that hill, they get almost to the summit, and then they face a good team and get whacked upside the head. But also, every time you're about to write them off and say, well, that's it, this team is dead, they rise up and play great baseball. And I that win last night, there have been a lot of great victories, but that Adam Duvall home run, the play at shortstop in the eighth inning by Trevor Story, the great catch by Garrett Whitlock, even though it didn't count as it turned out. But to me, that was a season-saving win.
Rich, I think I said it last time I was on with you, but I'll say it again. I'm telling you, the 2023 Red Sox, they are Michael Corleone in The Godfather 3. Just when you're out, they pull you back in. And they've done it again here with this Houston series. They do it. And they've been doing it all year. I'm telling you, you think they're done. You think you're going to write them off. You think, okay, that's it. All right, pack up, leave. We're done. And then they do something like last night. The Story play, I was sitting in the office, watched it live, and I'm like, man, oh, man. Like, that right there is just, that is reason enough to have Trevor Story play the last month and a half, 2 months here of the season, is because you're actually getting representative defense from a guy that can play shortstop in the big leagues. Like, the defense thing should not be, you know, shortened there for this Red Sox team because it's been so bad all year. So a play like that, it stands out. I guess that's a good thing, but it could be a bad thing, but whatever. It helped last night, and now look, they've propelled themselves today, and here you are. They're staying in the race somehow, some way.
Well, now they lose Jaron Duran to an injury. They call up this young guy who they got from the Astros, Willier Abreu. He hit a bomb today, 431-foot home run, and looks like a guy who's been in the big leagues his whole life. Not the least bit intimidated the other night when he made his debut against Justin Verlander.
Yeah, and you know, for a lot of the grief that Chaim Bloom's been getting this year, and myself included in that group of griefers, you know, there are some really good things, I think, that you've seen out of this team that you're like, okay, well, are they going to win the World Series this year? I don't think so. But, you know, next year you look at it and you say, well, okay, you put this piece in place, you put that piece in place. This young player looks good. You know, Jaron Duran's come along. Connor Wong's come along. You know, Yoshida has hit. If he can get better defensively, you know, that can help. And Trevor Story's getting healthy. And Brian Bayo's had a good year and he's kind of breaking out. And there's, so you go down the list and you're like, okay, well, you know, there's some things there. And, you know, will they supplement that through free agency and or trades or whatever they, you know, can do? You know, that's the question. And what, you know, how big is the checkbook for the Red Sox? That's the other big question I would have. So not to look too far ahead, but when I, you know, see a guy like that, you know, play well or come up with a big hit as he comes up to the big leagues, I say there are some pieces that you can look at and say we can build here. Now, what they do with it, that's up to the Red Sox.
Tough schedule ahead, the Dodgers this weekend, then the Astros again, then the Dodgers again. So who knows? It could all be over here in a week or so. But look, if they can get into September and be playing meaningful games, given what I thought they would be back in preseason, I'd be pretty happy with this.
Yeah, I don't want to say happy. I'm going to say satisfied.
Okay.
You've wet my beak a little bit. That's what I'm, you know, because the happy to me is the Sox are contending for the World Series. You know, it's October, there's the Sox, like, that's happy. Like, satisfied is playing meaningful games late in the season. So I would give a what do they used to put on report cards? You would know this, right? Like, is it like satisfactory is S? Like, I'd probably put an S. You know, it's not incomplete, but it's satisfactory. It does the job.
Right. So. These days, it would be met expectations.
There you go. There it is. See, I knew you would have the insight as to what code number 4 says in the right. progress report midterm, you know? So
see,
that's what I'd give them.
Well, see, I'm so much older than you, Nick, that a little satisfaction makes me pretty happy. I don't need a lot.
Oh,
the bar is low.
Right. Mick Jagger over here. Yes, well, let's get some, I guess.
Nick Coit with us here on Downtown. Patriots come into their final preseason game this weekend. Do we know much more about this team than we knew 3 weeks ago?
You know, I think there were some things that you look at from that preseason game in Green Bay and you say, okay, you know, I think we've seen in practice that the offense seems to be a much more efficient operation. When we saw those few series, I think there were some signs of things like, you know, Mac Jones being able to lean on Kendrick Bourne, lean on DeMario Douglas, you know, lean on some of these guys to get open quick. You know, quick slants, some of the things that I think they're thinking about doing, I think sort of showed themselves there, which is good and I think is more efficient for this offense and whatnot. But it's also, it was a little tough at times because the offensive line was you and me standing in front of Mac Jones. Like, it just did not look good. So, you know, there were some things, and I've been encouraged, I think. I've watched a lot of camp, but I've been encouraged with some of the things that I've seen and, you know, just the overall vibe and attitude with this team is way better than it was at this point last season. I think at this point last season, they're already looking at it saying like, what the heck are we doing here? And this year it's like, okay, well, we have a guy in charge that knows what he's doing and quarterback feels better about it. And some of the receivers feel better about it. And, oh, you just added Ezekiel Elliott and hopefully he can help, you know, goal line, red zone situations, things like that. So, yeah. I think there were some things, you know, the defense gave up some points, which was, you know, whatever, but, you know, we'll see. It's tough to tell in preseason, but I liked what I saw.
Yeah. And I like the Ezekiel Elliott pickup. I think that's pretty, you know, low risk, potential high reward because he'll be in a number two role. He doesn't have to be the guy, but if he can come out there in certain situations and get those tough yards, that's a great addition. And you mentioned Douglas. He's been a very pleasant surprise, I think, and gives them what they may not have a lot of, and that's that ability to stretch the field and go vertical.
Well, and I just think he is a guy that has found a knack to get open, and even coming into a professional camp, I think you see it with this kid, and I think the team's really excited about it because, you know, I don't want to go too far and throw names out, but, you know, the traditional slot guy in the Patriots offense run by an O'Brien or a McDaniels is a great thing to have and a great weapon for the quarterback. And it gets you yards, it gets you down the field. And if this kid can step into a role like that, then, you know, then that would absolutely help them and help the other guys in this offense get open and, you know, find some space too. And it's not just Douglas. I think Kayshon Booty from LSU has come in, you know, late in this camp and has, you know, sort of sparked himself and learned things and picked them up quickly. So, you know, these young receivers for this team, it's exciting. It's exciting to talk about because, you know, could they have potentially found something to, you know, to pair with their young quarterback? Maybe. We'll see. I mean, it's going to be a tough schedule. We're going to find out right away how they play against some really good competition, starting week one with the Eagles. But, you know, you like what you've seen out of camp.
All right, so I think I ask you this every year, Nick. Over, under on wins, I'm going with 9. You take the over or the under?
Ooh, 9? That is tough, because I would probably pinpoint it at 9. this is why I'm not a betting man, Rich. This is why I don't look at over-unders, and I say, oh, man. Yeah, I mean, because 9 is probably the number for me. I mean, I'm going to go over, and I think I feel encouraged about this team. And I feel like, you know, they went 10-7 a couple of years ago with a rookie quarterback. Now you've got a functional coach. You know, I think the real key to it is the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of been a sneaky thing throughout the offseason. We were talking about DeAndre Hopkins and the weapons and what Mac Jones has to throw to, you know, all underneath that has been, well, you know, if the offensive line doesn't hold up, it doesn't all matter. Now it started popping up. And I mean, it was really encouraging to see Mike Owenu on the field yesterday.
Yeah.
Because that's a guy that's going to be a real big asset for that, you know, offensive line. So hopefully that helps, but I think that's the key to everything. But you know what? I'll be positive and upbeat and energetic, and I'll go over 9. How about that?
I like that confidence. I would take that extra win and just put that in the Bill O'Brien column. That's what gets you to 10.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, just the attitude that you're feeling from the quarterback on down with the offense, I think it's been really encouraging in this camp. So, you know, you feel good. It's going to be a very interesting year either way.
Can the Rhody Rams come up here to Orono in week 3 of the college football season and take the Black Bears down? Maine will, I think, desperately need to win that first conference game at home because they've got a killer early schedule.
It's funny that you say that. I visited with the URI football team this morning, and they are dead set on getting to the FCS playoffs. They really want to get over the hump. They were so close last year. Having an experienced quarterback like Kasim Hill back really helps them. You know, offensively, I think is where you're going to see their experience. Defensively, I don't know what Maine has, you know, for their offense and, you know, what's returning there, but I think there's going to be some new guys in place for URI. And so, you know, that would sort of be the key matchup. How does this URI defense, you know, hold up at the beginning of the year with some, you know, some new guys sort of stepping into bigger roles? But we'll see. URI is going to be good. So it's always a good game between Rhode Island and Maine. I expect nothing less up there in Orono.
And I will tell you from afar, I think we've been very impressed with the work that Jim Fleming has done to make this team get better every year and to have elevated them to the point where they're a legitimate playoff contender year in and year out. You would not have expected that 5-6 years ago.
He has been given the patience of being able to build a program. Thor Bjorn, the athletic director, I give him credit for that, saying, like, look, Jim, take the time to build the program. And he has backed him with support and with, you know, financial investment. And we were talking about this morning, Jim's going into his 10th season. And Coach Flynn was talking about how he used to have to fill in some of the divots on the practice field or the field itself before practice just so they could have a good practice and nobody got hurt. Now they got a beautiful turf field. They've been doing some work on the stands this offseason.
Yeah, fix that press box. That's the next thing. Fix that press box.
They're working on it, Rich. I was looking up there this morning. They're working on some things there.
Okay.
So that's a great thing. And I'm so glad that they have had the patience to invest in the program because now they are legit contending in a very tough league every year. And that is a credit to Coach Flem, to the administration, and to everybody that's been part of the program here the last few years.
Yeah, and I think it's great for the conference. It's great for New England football in general. So I hope they have a great year as long as they lose that first conference game up here. Run the table after that if you'd like.
Well, and it's also fun too, Rich. You know, they officially had a press conference for it this morning that Bryant's going to be joining the CAA very soon too. So it'll be exciting for football in this state and for New England because you've got another school that's joining up in a very tough league and in this region too.
Press box. Again, the last time I was there, Bob Lucy and I had to do a game from the roof. We had to climb up a ladder, go through this hole in the floor. And look, it was tough for me, but I looked and behind me was my buddy Andy Gresh. And I thought, ain't no way Gresh is getting through that hole.
Well, he went through the Awaken 180 program at one point.
Right,
sure, he
right.
He fit through it now. He's fine. So I don't know if they're going to do that work for you in the press box.
Okay,
but,
all right.
Hopefully, as long as they take care of you, Rich. You know,
right.
That's what I'm
I just thought, about. Look, you are the 19-time Rhode Island Sportscaster of the Year that you could use some influence to help your old friend here.
All right, I'll try to wave the trophies in front of somebody
right,
so you
right.
can get some room in the press.
That's
zone.
It. Walk right in there, trophies in hand, and say, it's not for me. It's for my friend. He's old. This could be his last season. You never know.
I'm just picturing Steven Spielberg in the third Austin Powers waving his Emmy and saying, hey, you see my friend here? He says there's nothing wrong with this.
There you go. Nick, always a delight to talk with you, my friend. Thank you so much for making some time for us, and we'll catch up with you again before too long.
Pleasure as always, Rich. Thanks.
It's Nick Coyd, ABC6 Providence, talking a little New England sports with us.